It's noon here in Ventnor, New Jersey, and this is news that you can use from Car Edge with your hosts, Zach and Ray, for Thursday, March 23rd. Yeah, handsome, go ahead. I do think I'm kind of funny, and I think you're kind of funny, too.
We've got, folks, a momentous occasion today. We have the OG original cardigan that was worn in the first ever Car Edge video.
Indeed.
And if you join the stream and you know, and you so notice that, wow, kudos to you. This is from the What Happens to Unsold New Cars video. The first time my dad and I ever filmed, you were wearing that cardigan. It looks striking on you this morning, Dad.
Yeah, well, if I stood up, you would say it looks a little short. It's probably because my stomach's gotten bigger and it doesn't cover it quite as well as it used to.
Well, Dad, maybe something else can cover that, like a covered loss. I tried.
Wow.
I don't know. Also, we do have more banging because they're still doing window cleaning. We'll see what happens. Dad, we have Justin got it up on the Car Edge website. Ford News. This is mind-boggling.
Yes.
A $3 billion loss is what Ford expects this year from their EV line of business. Now oh my goodness, actually isn't pulling it up, we're almost done.
Isn't it raining today?
It should be. Ford, Dad, for those of you who are unfamiliar, there's window cleaning going on outside. We got one more coming in just a second. Right about okay, Ford, Dad, expected $2.1 billion in losses from their EV business unit. And then they came out this morning, and not so fast. We actually think it's going to be more like $3 billion. Whoa. What do you make of this?
I think they're lying. I think it'll be more. I don't know how you determine 2.5 months into the new year that your amount of loss, expected loss for selling EVs, is going to go up, I don't know, a third from what you thought it was going to be. So my guess is, if this is just a guess, but my guess is that number's way more than $3 billion by the end of the year. And it just shows how difficult it is going to be for every one of these legacy automobile manufacturers to break in to the EV market. Obviously you need your ICE division cars to underwrite your future hope of being profitable in the EV sector. If you're going to start sustaining losses of $3 billion a year in your EV sector, well, you know, you're starting to sound a lot like Rivian.
Yeah, you really, really are. And Randy, see your question here. You previously reported that a $2 billion loss for Ford, now three. Does that mean they lost five? No, this is the projected loss for this year, Randy. They've revised it up from 2.1 to $3 billion. We've got Mrs. Car questions answered here in the chat. Thank you to everyone who participated last night over on the Car Edge channel, Car Questions Answered, Flying Wheels, and Lucky Lopez's channel for our first automotive roundtable. Dad, I just want to pull up a tweet that I saw that I think does a great job. Really, really articulating the problem at Ford. So here's a slide taken out of Ford's most recent deck, and this comes from our friend Farzad. We've been on his channel before talking about electric vehicles and the auto market in general. And here it is. He summarizes this chart just really well up here in the top right, Dad. It says Ford lost about $22,000 per EV sold in 2022. On 96,000 global units at a negative 40% margin.
Is that what you're striving for when you're in business, a negative 40% margin?
Well, when quality is job number one, I think it is.
No.
You'll just
get it right. Quality is job none. Okay. It doesn't matter if it's EVs or ICE vehicles. Quality at Ford is job none. And the only reason I say that is because just earlier today, you and I looked up NHTSA's recall stats, and Ford, who had a somewhat sizable lead with 9 recalls last week for the year, suddenly had another 7 recalls. So they're up to 16 recalls already in the first 2.5 months of this year. Once again, leading the league in recalls for God knows how many years in a row, maybe as long as the F-150 has been America's most popular truck. I don't know.
The magnitudes of scale here are also pretty scary, Dad. For example, you say 16 recalls affecting already 2 million vehicles in its March 23rd. BMW's second on the list with 9 recalls and 43,000 vehicles that are impacted. So Ford is at definitely an inflection point. I mean, I can't imagine the board of directors at Ford saying, cool, we're going to underwrite this EV strategy for the next decade. And Jim Farley, keep doing what you're doing, man. You're cruising right along. Like, I get nervous about the potential for Ford to sustain this for a decade. I don't see how they can.
It's not for the next decade, Zach. I mean, Ford already has plans, you know, because they lost $22,000 per EV they sold last year, and they sold globally 96,000. Well, they have plans that by the end of this year, they will be able to have produced another 600,000 EVs. Okay. And by 2026, they will be able to produce 2 million EVs annually. Whether or not there's 2 million customers annually for those EVs remains to be seen. And their anticipation is that by 2026, the EVs will go from a negative 40% profit margin up to a positive 8% profit margin. Not quite sure how they're planning on doing that. Have no idea where it is that they're planning on cutting the costs so that you could have this, 48% swing in profit margin over the next 3 years. But it's not going to take a decade, Zach.
Yeah, you're right. They say in 2026, things are going to get turned around. Kayvon, thanks for being here with us. We always appreciate
Seeing you so much.
In the chat. We appreciate the contribution. Dad, awesome to see this from Valen2384. Thanks for all the helpful videos. I traded in my car, got $3,000 above Black Book value and $2,000 off the MSRP, and also got a discount on the warranty just by mentioning the Car Edge website. We love that.
Yes.
You don't have to buy stuff from us. You don't have to make us a dime. If you save money, we are happy campers. Very, very, very excited to see this message.
Absolutely. But yeah, it's the whole concept at Ford is interesting. They want their EV division be thought of as a new EV startup. And when I think EV startups, I think Rivian, I think Lucid, I think Lordstown. Heck, you can even think Tesla. And I don't know, it took Tesla, 10 years to become profitable? So why is it that Ford, if they want to be considered an EV startup, why is it that they think that they'll be able to become profitable in 3 years when it's taken everybody else, forever? And some, like Rivian, you know, Ford, it only cost them $22,000 in loss per sale on their EVs. Rivian, it's probably about $1 million loss per cost.
There was that chart. I wish I had it. It was from a while ago, maybe 6 months ago. Greenfield posted it on Automotive Ventures or on LinkedIn. And yeah, it was the total cost to produce a unit. And Rivian's was something crazy. It was Toyota was first on the list. It cost them $20,000 to make a car. Great, whatever the number was. And then Rivian's on the list, and it cost them $1.2 million per car. They were just two different worlds, two entirely different worlds.
And it was the same thing at Lucid. You know, the amount of loss per vehicle sold is just staggering. So I am not sure why it is that those at Ford think that they'll be able to reverse that trend. What is it that they know? What is it that they've done over the course of their history that would suggest they can branch off into a whole new manufacturing business and do it so much better than everybody else in that space? I personally, I don't see it. I think their history suggests otherwise. And I think their most recent history suggests otherwise. There's only one thing, and I know people think I bash Ford, and I guess I do. But there's only one thing that they seem to be really, really good at.
What's that?
And that's recalls. You know, it's the fact that they can build the cars, sell the cars, and have to bring them back to the dealers to make repairs for all the things that have gone wrong with them. And not just, you know, warranty stuff. This is safety-related stuff that the National Highway Transportation Safety Administration has said, you gotta bring these cars back. Don't just wait for somebody to have the problem. We need to be proactive. So that to me is the only thing that they're good at, you know? Yeah. So I don't know why they think they're going to be able to do it so much better than Tesla or Rivian or Lucid or Faraday or, you know, name any EVs. What would be interesting, Zach, is to put together a list of all the EV startups that we know of today, okay, and then 3 years from now, look at that list and see how many of those don't exist anymore, okay? How many of those were merely pipe dreams?
Yeah.
That would be interesting. Now, I'm not going to sit here and suggest that maybe Ford Model E will fall into that category, but I think what they're projecting for growth, I don't know. How do you go from 0 to 2 million in like 4 years?
And with their track record, right? Because when they have built things, there's issues. Yeah, there's systemic challenges that Ford faces. And this news that came out this morning, it's the headline in Automotive News, the industry publication. It's the headline over on CarEdge.com. We're doing a better job staying up to date with the latest news. It's a big story. We have a video coming out, a shorter video tomorrow on the CarEdge channel.
Yeah.
Talking about this just as well. Dad, let's dig into another storyline.
Okay.
Here we go. We had a Fed raise.
Yes.
We went up another 25 bips. This article here on Cox Automotive, it talks about effectively doubling down on credit tightening. A few things that stood out to me, Dad. I'm going to pull it up here. Where is it? It is right here. Let me zoom in. Get this nice and big for everyone. Now I lost it. Now it's back.
Okay.
Auto loan rates have continued to move higher in 2023, despite the Fed having only increased rates by 25 basis points in February. As of the start of this week, the average new auto loan rate is estimated at 8.94%, up 92 basis points from 8% in December. So the average new car auto loan has an APR of 9%. The average used vehicle auto loan rate increased to 14.01%. We have crossed the 14% barrier on used car APRs.
As an average. So that means that there are people that are paying less, that people that have really, really good credit or whose loan-to-value ratios are within guidelines. And then there's those who are actually paying more than 14% because A, they might not have the credit to support it, and B, they might not have the down payment that's required to keep it into the loan to value parameters. So, but an average of 14%. Now, you know, it has been years and years and years since we have seen interest rates like this. Since the Great Recession, you know, we went, a dozen years where interest rates were next to nothing. They were near zero. Okay. They were like 1-2%, which was not the reality. It was not a reality that could last forever.
That was sustainable. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, because I saw it in the 80s when I was in the car business, you know, when auto loan rates were 16, 17, 18, 19%. I mean, that was normal. Mortgage rates were the same. So to have had cheap money, historically cheap money, as long as we did, it just makes getting back to reality even that much harder to accept.
Yeah.
An almost 9% interest rate for a new car is, in the old days would not have been considered an unusually high rate. 14% on a used car would not have been considered an unusually high rate. Based on what we've lived through for the last dozen years, we think, oh my God, the sky has fallen. It's not, but it's getting closer.
I mean, this is the new normal, and it is a new normal that should ultimately end up impacting demand and should ultimately end up impacting dealers' likelihood to negotiate, because these interest rates don't just go up on auto loans, they go up on floor plan line of credits as well. And that's going to impact the negotiability of a lot of vehicles too.
Oh, I would think it would. You know, a 25 basis point rise in your floor plan interest rate. I mean, you know, dealers for the first time in a decade or more, you know, have real expense tied up with inventory that's sitting. They didn't for the longest period of time. And now they do again. And, you know, if a dealer suddenly has to write a floor plan check for $100,000 at the beginning of a month, when he was maybe stroking a check for $15,000 or $20,000 prior to that, that's a huge difference. I mean, that impacts profitability.
I mean, our negotiability scores, suggested offer, all those things, they have more value today than they have in the past, because aged inventory, there's an incentive to move it, even if it is expensive, to say the least. Hey, Dad, can I show you something new? Can I show you something kind of cool?
You mean other than you? Because I personally think you're kind of cool, but yeah.
Carriage Report, it is not live yet. It'll be live next week, but I've got it working here. So you plug any VIN for a vehicle that is for sale, Dad, and you know what you end up getting? Bada boom, bada bing.
Oh, my goodness. Look at that.
Can I get your feed? I know this is your first time seeing this. Can I get your feedback live as well as feedback in the chat? I want your feedback on the Carriage Report. You ready?
Yeah. So right, let's see. Tell me what it gives you the recommendations. The expected cost to own this Honda HR-V for 5 years is $18,000. Wow. It gives the CarEdge rating, the value rating for the vehicle. It's a B+. So that, you know, that's got to be pretty damn good. Black Book retail is typically 25 grand. The mileage is low. Fuel economy is good. This is quite handy. Scroll down some more. What other information?
So a few things are currently broken on this, like the 2023 isn't pulling in depreciation and the sixth year isn't pulling in another. So like our team's still working on it. That's the reason it's not live. But conceptually, I think you can get the idea here. You're going to get all the Black Book values for that vehicle, the total cost of ownership for each year. The depreciation, again, you can see there's a bit of a bug here. It doesn't depreciate $0 in the first year. We're including, Dad, the projected value versus the accrued cost to own. I think this is just awesome.
Wow. Very nice.
Yeah, expected maintenance and repair costs, insurance costs. So, yeah, this is the first version of the CarEdge Report. Just kind of curious what you think, Dad.
Well, I think, not to toot our own horn, but I can't think of any other car site for listings and things like that that provide that depth and breadth of information in one spot. I mean, that's pretty remarkable and pretty complete.
I'm really excited about it. Yeah. I'm really excited about it. Well, we're going to get tons of feedback and we'll make it better. But for the first version, I think it's pretty tight.
I would think... consumers would find value in that when you're looking at vehicles. So when you compare, you know, if you're looking at an HR-V or what's the Toyota version, the CR-V or whatever the hell, you know, I don't know, but you can compare similar vehicles from different manufacturers and see which one ultimately makes the most sense financially for you over the lifetime of that vehicle. That's pretty valuable information. That's information that not enough people take into consideration when they're making a buying decision.
I think comparing is like probably the most obvious thing we'll do. like getting more coverage, so getting more data so we can cover more vehicles, and then getting comparisons so you can compare two in one report. Mm-hmm. That would be epic.
Yeah,
epic. So just know that those are, we're working on that. And also the window sticker, Dad, maybe like a month away, sometime next month, hopefully we'll have window stickers for used cars for sale.
Yeah,
that's awesome, because I just don't want people to be buying used cars without knowing the options and equipment that are on it. And so window stickers for used cars come in relatively soon. All this stuff available, obviously, to folks that are Car Edge community members. If you're signed up for our data plan, coach plan, you can obviously get access to this stuff. And there may be some free versions of things just as well. All right. And then here we go. We've got from Faster, could it also work on recently discontinued vehicles on sale? Right now, it's only going to work on vehicles that are currently
yes.
for sale. So another thing that we'll have to work on in the future. Now, Dad, I don't have the soundboard wired up today. Can we do our best impersonation of our really you've got to be kidding me?
Well, why don't I just say it?
Go for it.
Really? You got to be kidding me.
Is that where we got that from? Did you do that? I think you did that.
I think
Hyundai, Dad. Hyundai is the only automaker that is trying to keep up with Ford in terms of challenges and issues
yes.
with their vehicles. We've got another fire recall going on. 568,000 vehicles. Hyundai is advising owners to park vehicles outside and away from structures because of fire risks associated with 2019 to 2023 Santa Cruz, 2021 to 2023 hybrids, and 2022 and 2023 plug-in hybrids, as well as the 2022 to 2023 Santa Cruz compact pickups. This, you know, Hyundai has so much potential, Dad. They have so much potential. And then this happens.
I'm gonna ask the question.
Yeah.
How does a brand like Hyundai Kia grow at the rate that they grow, having the fire issues, the known fire issues and engine issues that they have? Is it merely because not enough people are aware of the issues that these cars have, that it hasn't been communicated in a way for the public to really get it and understand it? Because if I was going to spend money for a car or a crossover or a pickup truck, yep. whatever it may be, and the history of the brand is such that they have been plagued with engine failures and fires, I personally think, regardless of how good looking the vehicles are, that I would want to consider something else that has a better track record. And I you know, is it the mainstream media's fault that this isn't played up more, that this isn't reported on more, that it isn't a bigger issue? Because it should be. You know, they had the problems with their Theta engines. They had other fire issues. It doesn't make sense to me that as a brand, you can continue to sell more vehicles and grow market share while you are producing vehicles that catch on fire more frequently than other brands. I don't get it.
Price point's attractive. People like the slick design. They're not thinking about the fact that once it goes out of warranty, there are these issues. Hell, these are in warranty, Dad.
Oh, okay. So the price point's good. Great. Does each one of them come with a couple fire extinguishers? I mean, you know, the Pinto at one time, the Ford Pinto, you know, that if it got rear-ended because of where the gas tank was and something that could puncture it, that there was a greater likelihood of a fire if
yep.
the vehicle, you know, so it was like, it was a great value. The car was a great value, you know, but what would have made it a better value was an asbestos driving suit to protect you in case you were rear-ended. So yeah, Hyundai's a great price point, but what difference does that price point make if it's burnt up? Okay, then you're dealing with your insurance company. Then you have to go replace the vehicle. You know, hopefully yours wasn't parked in the garage when it did yeah. catch on fire. There's got to be more to that buying decision than, well, it's good looking and it's a good price point.
Completely agree, Dad. Completely agree. Hey, couple things that are going through my mind. I just want to ask everyone that's with us here, if you know someone on YouTube, or even if they're not on YouTube and you think they would be a good fit for the next Automotive Roundtable, please go to their YouTube channel or send them an email, link them to what we did, and tell them, hey, talk to Ray and Zach, get on the next Car Edge Roundtable. We want to do more and more of those. We think it's a great way to get to learn about our peers in the space and be informed just like each of you. So please go leave comments and say, hey, go do the roundtable, go do the forum with Ray and Zach. And I want to remind everyone as well, Dad, the good news in today's market, because I want to end every damn live stream with some good news. There's a couple pieces of good news.
Okay.
Selling your car. You got an extra car to sell. Sell the dang thing. Used car vehicle values on the wholesale market, not yet on the retail side, but on the wholesale side, are going up like crazy. Please go to caredge.com/sell. Please get multiple offers. We have success stories everywhere in the community forum of people selling their cars right now and just getting way more money than they had thought possible. And the other thing I want to mention is, if you have not shopped your insurance rates recently, please shop your insurance rates. Laura, my girlfriend, just saved $400 by switching from Travelers to Progressive.
Wow.
Great. Do it. Like, those rates keep going up. Everywhere I read, everything I see, Dad, insurance rates are going up really, really, really fast. So please, if you have not shopped them, call one of our agents, fill out the online form. We set that up. What did we do? We set that up last year, I think.
Yes.
It took us a lot of work to get it set up. People can save money. I don't know if everyone can save money. Like, you did it, Dad, and you could save, what was it, like $60? You just decided not to change.
Yeah.
But if you save real money, do it.
Oh, absolutely. And there have been people that have saved real money. $60 is still $60, but I felt loyal to Geico. So for $60, I mean, they had been my insurance carrier and still are my insurance carrier and have been for, 7, 8, 9 years. I saw no reason to sell them out over $60. Now, that doesn't mean I'm a normal human being because I know, as long as I was in the car business, if I gave somebody a price and they gave me a deposit and they were planning on coming back the next day, they took my price and then they beat the deal by $50. They went and bought the car somewhere else for $50 less. So I know people would sell me out for $50. I lived it. I lived it every day. But I believe in a certain amount of loyalty to those that you do business with. That's just me.
Loyal Geico customer, yes. Right there. Mark reminding us, I think Progressive stopped insuring Hyundai and Kias, and yeah, they did because of the theft issues.
Some of them.
Fortunately, Laura drives a Subaru, so that wasn't an issue.
Yes.
Issue for us. Yeah, here you go. Mark says, not pitching her, but Liberty Mutual is about half of what I paid last year for vehicle insurance. Yeah, that's the thing about insurance. We all have to have it, or in most states, you have to have auto insurance. And so, like, why not shop it and just see if you can get. Anyway, we'll see. We'll see. Pops, we will be back tomorrow, won't we? We will be back tomorrow. We will have Kimberly Klein, the F&I goddess herself, for her automotive roundtable.
Yes.
It was just you and me, correct?
Yes. Yes. We will be back tomorrow at noon Eastern, 9 specific, 8 a.m. Alaska time. And at some point, I'll have to figure out what Hawaii time is. And we'll throw that one in as well. But yes, we'll be back with more news that you can use tomorrow from Car Edge with your hosts, Zach and Ray. Thanks, everybody, for being here today. We do look forward to seeing you back here tomorrow. And please, please, please tell all your friends to be here with you.
Also, shout out Car Mom merch.
Yeah. Oh, there you are. Yeah.
She's got good merch, man. All right, Dad, I love
you. She does. I love you, too. I'm going to go eat some lunch. You have a good rest of your day. And hell, everybody have a good rest of your day.
See you, guys. Thanks, Dad.
Yep, my pleasure.